Christmas songs. This next song, as I was preparing for worship, I was thinking, you know, how the angels came to those shepherds on a mountain, and only to them. He could have come and came to the whole town, but what did he do? He came humbly and in a humble way to humbled men. He came and proclaimed that he was born, that God, his son, was born. And then they went and saw this baby, and they must have been so excited because they knew this truth. They knew who he was because they were told by angels. Of course they knew. But then as they proclaimed it, I got thinking, I wondered if the town even realized what was going on. As they were proclaiming, did they know? Did they think they were crazy? Did they think, what are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about. Angels, what are you talking about? I wondered, and I was thinking how that translates to today, that even though we've told this story and we go tell it on the mountain, as this song says, do the people really understand? They've heard this truth, they've heard this story for generations, but do they really get that truth? And the only way they're going to get it is if they see it in us and we go tell it. And even if people don't listen and don't hear, there's always some that do. And those one or two or three or ten or thousands are important. Each one is important, right? So if one person gets it this Christmas, that's one more soul saved, amen? So let's sing this song out.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Next two are just classics, Angels We Have Heard on High and O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Angels We Have Heard on High, sing me singing o'er the plains
and the mountains in reply.
Good. First service, I was like, nope, it wasn't working.
Yeah, we practiced that once, yeah.
All right, you can go ahead, Phil.
Still we see the light above.
go by, yet in thy dark stream shine the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the youth are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of man,
song I think we did last year. You may recognize it. It's Chris Tomlin's song, and I think one year we did it for a Christmas cantata we did here with, I think, Steve, maybe. It's called Emmanuel, Hallowed Manger Ground. So if you guys remember, I just love the words of this. He came to us to abide with us, to meet us where we're at. Amen. So let's proclaim that truth this morning.
Long, we seek the light that leads to the high.
excited to have Tracy here today. This will be our last service before Christmas. Of course, we're not doing a Christmas Eve service due to changing regulations and such. We've kind of said we're gonna avoid criticism before it begins, if that makes any sense. If it doesn't make any sense, then you have not been living my life. I do think this, though. I'm so excited that Tracy is sharing today. First service was so beautiful, and I love her words. She always encourages me. I thank God every day that her and Rob came home, that home was here for Rob, and he brought Tracy. I think that was the plus. His plus one was awesome. And, of course, she has a military background, as many of you know, as a chaplain. And as she continues to be a pharmacist, we've been praying for her. But we are so glad that God has been moving in her heart as far as ministry goes. And we're so excited that she's here and part of our team and sees that for the duration. As long as God tarries, we want to be helping the community feel loved and know where that love comes from. And I think that she is such an incredible part of this team, and I'm so glad for her heart and for her words. I do tell Kirtland all the time, if you want to see what professional is, listen to Tracy a little deeper than me. Because I've got a reputation, that's okay. But there's a balance, isn't there? Amen? Amen. Anyway, welcome Tracy as she comes and shares the word of God today.
So good morning, everyone. It's looking like Christmas today. This is pretty phenomenal. I know that when I drove in this morning I left at 7 o'clock. It was ugly out there. Ooh-wee. But you couldn't see anything, so really, was it ugly? I don't know. Anyways, good morning. This is our fourth message in our Advent series. Last week, Andrew pointed us toward discovering the substance of the genealogies in Matthew and Luke, those passages that we are often tempted to simply skim over or maybe skip altogether. I know I was blessed by his insight, and I trust that you were too. And the two Sundays prior, Kirtland spoke of the signs, and I spoke of the surprise. And today we are going to consider the arrival of the Son, the one promised to Joseph, the one promised to the world, and the one who is delivered by Mary. So let's read Matthew chapter 1. Verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had thought this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning to gather. We thank you for each one here. We would ask that you would open up our hearts and minds to receive you this morning, to receive a fresh understanding of this amazing story. Help us to realize how extraordinary it is, and how extraordinary your love is for each of us. May these moments that follow bring you glory. Amen. So first, we're going to focus on the birth of Jesus and it'll be under the three headings that I mentioned. So first is Joseph is promised a son. We are so familiar with this story that it's easy to read it without thinking about it. In my last message 2 weeks ago, the focus was on Mary and her response to the visit by an angel. But here in Matthew, our focus is squarely on Joseph's response. I love the phrase that Andrew often uses, that this is all about God's rescue mission. And it is extraordinary. But here's the kicker. It involves everyday, ordinary people. People just like you and me. Not kings and queens, or warriors or scholars, but instead, a young couple just starting out in life. Joseph has finished his apprenticeship as a carpenter, and now it is time to marry and start life together with the one he has known since childhood. It's a time to raise a family, to get established in the community, all good things and expected things. And then guess what? Surprise. Somehow, and we aren't told exactly how, Joseph has learned that the one he is committed to, that the one he will be married to within the year, is pregnant. And he knows the child is not his own. Why would she do this? How could she betray him, knowing how much it would hurt him? And even so, with all of these questions, Joseph trusted the substance of Mary's life, which made it difficult for him to accept the reality that she was pregnant, because he knew her. He had known her for years. They were engaged, after all. None of this made sense. And her story of the angel's visit and how her pregnancy came about, what to make of that? She wasn't the type to lie, but an angel? The Holy Spirit? How on earth? Joseph was an honorable man. He followed the law, the Torah. But that only gave him two options that he could see. He could quietly divorce Mary and send her away, or he could hand her over to the authorities for adultery. Not really much for options. On the other hand, what if what she claims is true? She's an honest person. He's known her for most of his life. Her character tells him that he should believe her, but... And so he continues to wrestle with it. Above all else, Joseph seeks to do the right thing. But what is the right thing? He doesn't want Mary to be harmed. He still wants to protect her, be kind to her. He loves her. He wants this whole situation to just be a bad dream, to awaken and have things go back to the way they were. But it isn't a bad dream, and both of his options will cause immense shame for Mary, or even death. Either way, her life will be over. But what if he has another option? Our God is full of other options we often don't consider. That's why waiting on him is so important. That's why when the answer to your prayers is silence or wait, then it's a good idea to do exactly that, because God may have something else in mind. So one night he goes to sleep, still struggling with what to do, and an angel appears in his dream and presents a third option. Marry her. Marry Mary. And if you read this knowing the rest of the story, it sounds so obvious, so easy, like big deal, problem solved. But don't be fooled. It's not an easy option for Joseph. Instead, it is a costly one for a righteous man. Think about this. By marrying her, by maintaining their engagement and following through with the wedding plans, what are people likely to conclude? Think about it. That the baby is his. That he has behaved less than honorably. And now the shame and the sideways glances that were first limited to Mary become a very real possibility for both of them. Because why would Joseph marry her if it wasn't his child? For Joseph, there are no easy options, but there is a right one. Our scripture passage includes reference to the prophet Isaiah's words, words that Joseph would have known because he studied the scriptures. He went to the synagogue. Matthew includes the quote from Isaiah for our benefit, but I think Joseph probably was able to consider his reality in light of it as well. I don't think, though, that it was a one and done that he made the connection between the prophecy and his predicament and then just said, well, it's obvious, it's prophetic. I think that he would struggle with it. I'm sure he still had doubts from time to time. And I think his doubts were even more possible based on the difference that Mary had an angel of the Lord appear to her. But how did the angel come to him? Mary interacted with an angel in the light of day, not in a dream, but in reality. The angel was there. It was a visitation. But for Joseph, the angel came in a dream. I puzzled over this for a while, and I don't think I'm much closer to a definitive answer as to why a visitation compared to an appearance in a dream. But here's the thing. I sure appreciate that Joseph had to exercise a larger leap of faith than Mary did. See, the angel told Mary that she was going to be pregnant. She knew she was a virgin. So as the child began to grow, she was given confirmation of what the angel had said. Things will be exactly as the angel had said. But Joseph, all he had was a dream. Now, I have plenty of weird dreams, lots of weird dreams that I don't make sense of. I know you have some of them too. When I am really stressed, I often dream I'm back in the military. When I can't figure out what to do, or I feel that my life is out of control, I have these weird dreams about elevators that are out of control that don't go to the right floor and they're wobbly and they're gonna let loose, and it's crazy. But when I wake up, I don't start looking for my uniform, and I'm not terrified of riding in an elevator. And you probably have some dreams that are a little odd too. So imagine being Joseph and the angel of the Lord comes to you in a dream. To me, that is a lot less certain than an actual visit from the angel. And Joseph had to live with this. And I believe that Joseph's faith pleased God. He did not turn away from what the angel told him to do. In verse 24, we read, Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. Number two. The world is promised God's son. In verse 21 of today's passage, we read, she will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means the Lord saves. God has many names in the Bible, and they all point to an aspect of his character. Rabbi Kurt Schneider of Discovering the Jewish Jesus describes 14 Hebrew covenant names of God. For example, Adonai. It's the plural form of Adon, which means Lord. So Adonai, as plural, is correctly translated my lords and refers to the Trinity. El Shaddai, or God Almighty, refers to God's strength, majesty, power. Elohim refers to Father God and the God and God the Creator. And all these other names, they refer to God being the provider, the healer, the creator, to God being the one who is eternal, who is beyond time, who fights on our behalf, is unchanging, trustworthy, and many other aspects of his character. And on we go. But Rabbi Schneider concludes this: the name of Jesus is the fulfillment of all the other names of God, as it is the name of salvation. And he quotes Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. The naming of God's Son points to the fulfillment of God's promise to save his people from their sins. Not just Israel, but all of humanity. That means you and me, all of us. And that in itself is a reason to celebrate Christmas. And finally, Mary gave birth to the Son. Because Joseph followed the Lord's command, God's rescue story by sending his Son occurred just as was promised in the Isaiah text. Mary, a virgin, gave birth to a Son who is God with us, Emmanuel. This was a profound event, but it can be a stumbling block to many. And by some, it has been dismissed as untrue. In the military chaplaincy, there'd be several of us sitting around a table debating what this virgin birth actually meant. Some would argue that the word translated as virgin actually should be translated as young woman, and that the whole concept of the virgin birth is just a fantasy made up, a misunderstanding. But hear me, without the virgin birth, we're lost. Because if the birth of Jesus did not happen as outlined in Scripture, then Jesus is not God. Instead, he is simply the illegitimate child of Mary, or the son of the union between Joseph and Mary. And if Jesus is not God, then not only is he a liar, he also lacks the ability to be our Savior. And dear friends, because we are all sinners, we need a Savior. Let there be no doubt. So I encourage you, please, if you're tempted to simply dismiss the virgin birth, take another look, because it is absolutely crucial to our celebration of Christmas. Dr. David Jeremiah writes that the conception and birth of Jesus Christ are supernatural events beyond human logic or reasoning. Because of this, God sent angels to help certain people understand the significance of what was happening. And that included the two main participants, Mary and Joseph. Mary delivered the Christ child, Emmanuel, God with us. Christmas and Jesus' birth are the start of our rescue story. God gave all. He gave up his throne to live among us because there was no other way to be saved. We couldn't do it. Only God could. And he did. And it all began at Christmas. Jesus, a helpless little baby born in a manger over 2,000 years ago. Don't leave him in the nativity scene to simply remind you of his birth, because Jesus had a much bigger purpose than just being born. He had much more to do than just that. And that is why we are told to proclaim the Lord's death until he returns, not his birth. And spoiler alert, he will return, maybe far sooner than any of us think. So as you celebrate Christmas and prepare for the new year, let's make a meaningful resolution this year to pay attention, to study God's word, and to get ready for his imminent return. Amen. Now, this is our last Sunday together before Christmas Day, which is very exciting. So I would just like to end in prayer and then provide you with a Christmas benediction as well. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that this is such an extraordinary story. That you, as an amazing God, found a way to rescue us. Help us not to dumb it down, to make it comfortable or to fit what we want. Allow us to recognize just how supernatural and amazing it is as we celebrate your son's birth. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. So let us go from this place, proclaiming that we have seen the glory of God, believing that there is a light that shines in the darkness, which the darkness shall not overcome. And may the love of the Creator, the joy of the Spirit, and the peace of the Christ child be with you with this Christmas and evermore. Amen. God bless you and Merry Christmas.